Joining us right now is Andy Harris. He is a U.S. congressman to the 1st District of Maryland. He's going to tell us about this health care bill because it is complicated. There's two different versions, House version, Senate version that just was released yesterday, and a lot of people are not happy. Andy Harris, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Good morning. So who are the winners and losers in this, if there are winners and losers? And does this do anything to lower premiums for those of us who have such expensive health care we can't afford to use it? And I'm one of those people.
Well, I think the House bill does more to lower premiums because we emphasize taking the highest risk patients out, putting them to high risk pools. We fund high risk pools. And that would lower the premiums for the vast majority of people. Because remember, it's really a very small percent of the population that drives up the cost of insurance premiums for everyone. So there are methods to lower the premium cost in the Senate plan. I think the House plan was better. The Senate plan is actually better on limiting Medicaid growth. The amazing thing is that if you listen to the media, a lot of the media, you'd think that both plans cut Medicaid spending. They don't. The fact of the matter is, over the next 12 years, Medicaid, it was scheduled to double in size. So we only increase it 50% in size, under the House plan over the next 12 years. We don't cut it. It increases 50%. Only in Washington is a 50% increase, a decrease. But the Senate plan actually goes even further and attempts to control Medicaid to the regular rate of inflation after a few years. And that really should be our goal. Our goal should be to cut the cost of health care in the United States, not just the cost of health care insurance, but actually to cut the cost of health care through competition mechanisms, free market mechanisms, price transparency, things like that.
Well, the Medicaid issue, Congressman, you were all elected, Republicans at least, to repeal Obamacare. And Medicaid is a component of Obamacare, and controlling the cost of and growth of Medicaid is essential. But we could reform Medicaid and leave core components of Obamacare there, which is what I see both the House and Senate versions of the bill doing. Why not just keep the promise initially to repeal Obamacare, get everyone to vote on it, and then move quickly to the needed reforms, as you point out, with Medicaid and things like that in terms of cost control? Instead, we've got this Frankenstein monster of a process where on the core cost driver, which is pre-existing conditions requiring insurers to cover them without allowing them to charge appropriately, it looks like that's not going to be part of the Senate bill. And what is the House going to do with that? It's an unholy mess in many ways, isn't it?
Well, first of all, let me address the repeal. We could put a repeal bill on the floor. It would pass in the House. It would die in the Senate because it's a 60-vote threshold. And then we'd say, okay, what do we do next? And what we should do next is do what I think we attempt to do, which is do as best we can, which is to get the Medicaid program under control. Medicaid is the most rapidly growing entitlement program. It's out of control under Obamacare. And in essence, both the House and Senate bills eventually completely roll back the Medicaid, the enhanced federal match of Medicaid. Say, look, if a state wants to do a Medicaid expansion, that's fine, but the federal government's not going to pay 90% of the cost. We're going to pay the usual match, not 90%. And both bills do that. With regards to pre-existing conditions, it's just not, the House bill absolutely covers pre-existing conditions. We have guaranteed issue. But I think, from a policy point of view, we should be taking the high-risk patients out of the normal insurance pool, and then we should establish in the next step, because we can't do it because it's a policy step, we should establish mechanisms to deal with the illnesses that put people in a high-risk pool so that they go into disease management plans. Because, the Affordable Care Act plans are not disease management plans. They're just they're regular health insurance. And we should do even more for people who have medical conditions. We actually should do intensive disease management to control not only current costs, but future costs of the disease. And this gives us, the House bill, I think, gives us a better mechanism to get there.
Very quickly, why can't we just open up sales of insurance across state lines, and my insurance can be like my car insurance? It's not tied to my employer. I own it. I can choose. If there's a better plan for me based in Iowa, I can buy it. Why can't we just do that?
Well, we can't do it under the reconciliation bill because of the rules of the Senate. If the president wants to do it, everyone wants to do it. What I'm beginning to look into is to look into encouraging Republican-controlled states to do it on their own. Because remember, the only thing that stops it is that insurance is usually regulated at the local level. But if a state said, a Republican-controlled state said, you know what, it's okay. We're going to deem our surrounding states' policies to be okay in a state. They could do it on their own. So I hope the federal government, I hope we do it later in the year. I hope we actually attach it to an infrastructure bill or some other bill that there'll be Democrat votes for, because, you know, 80% of Americans think you should purchase across state lines just like you do on Amazon, just like you do with on all the other purchases.
And let the free market decide. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Have a fantastic weekend.
Okay, thank you.
Andy Harris, U.S. Congressman to the 1st District of Maryland.